Let's answer some Hey Joe questions.
Joe cracked the door.
All right, kicking things off from Colby. Hey, Joe, would NC State fans accept an NCC title game appearance minimum if the only game they lost all year is to ECU? Somehow, I'm a huge fan of both. I'll take an ECU win and ACC title.
Whoa. I feel like that requires a follow-up. He's a fan of both?
Apparently
ECU
so.
And yeah. NC State.
I don't know how that works, but
I'm going to have to reach out to Colby and see, get to the bottom of this, that he's a fan of both in this situation. Look, I think anytime you come up with these hypotheticals, in this particular one, if the only game you lose this year is to ECU, then yeah, I'm guessing that NC State fans are going to take that every single day of the week. It means that you're beating Clemson on the road, you're beating Carolina, you're winning the Atlantic Division, all that stuff. Yeah, you're going to take it easily. Am I wrong on that?
This is one of those that I have a hard time grasping how it would actually happen, right? Like, how in the world would you lose to ECU and then rattle off 11 straight wins?
It's a centering loss. Okay. You know, the NC State, look, I tried to sell you on this a couple weeks ago.
You did, but I'm saying NC State, just watching a little bit of this all ACC, you know, behind the scenes and all access and the conversations that we've had with Dave Doran, NC State needs to breathe fire, okay? They don't need to go into Clemson with, oh, wow, we squeaked out a win, or we lost to ECU, or, oh, geez, we needed 8 touchdowns from T.A. McClendon to beat a crappy Texas Tech team.
Mm-hmm.
No, NC State needs to take names and kick ass in the first 4 weeks of this season, and then go to Clemson and breathe fire.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a time to play with your food. This is not a time to go to Greenville and go, oh man, Russell Wilson lost here. Oh no, we had 78 pros and lost to a crappy Scotty Montgomery. No, none of that stuff should be in your head. What should be in your head is, wait a second. You have us at 13?
Mm-hmm.
We're way better than 13.
I think there's a
That's what should be in your head.
I think there's a difference between what the fans are thinking and what the team is thinking. I mean, any sort of talk.
The players themselves have sounded motivated.
Yes.
And they're also a veteran team, an older team that has been through it.
Yes. And that's why the expectations going into this year for NC State are different than the discussion we were having around Carolina last year. This is a super motivated group that had, in their minds, a historic season taken away from them with the Holiday Bowl, right?
Right.
Something that hasn't been done at NC State only once before.
Correct.
The old Gator Bowl year. Shout out to Mayor Meeks. Now, because of that unfinished business, because of the run it back mentality, NC State does have the right mindset. That's them. Put that away. Compartmentalize that. What we deal with in this situation, what we get with these questions, is classic fan behavior, which I'm cool with. That's fine. You know, heck, I mean, I remember joked around a couple years ago. I actually got one UNC person all upset when I just happened to throw out there, hey, State fans, would you take a non-lethal gunshot to your thigh if it meant that Carolina would be terrible in every sport for the rest of your lifetime? And I had a bunch of State fans on board going, yep, I'll let you shoot both thighs if it meant that Carolina would suck at a variety of sports, especially basketball. So that's like those types of fan questions. And yeah, if you're preparing for the worst, an opening season loss to ECU, the self-medication is, aha, I know, it'll recenter them and they're going to go on a run. I know it breaks your brain, but you're not thinking like a fan. Next up.
All right, this one from Gary. Hey, Joe, are you jealous of the level of crazy on display going on in Kentucky right now?
Dude. So I wasn't here on Friday, but I know there's a little bit of a spillover into the weekend between John Calipari, the head coach of Kentucky basketball, and Mark Stoops, the head coach for Kentucky football. And the basis here, Julio, was on Calipari wanting a new practice facility. And he got a little worked up, and he said, look, UK is a basketball school. Alabama's a football school. Georgia's a football school. We're a basketball school. No knock on Mark Stoops and the football program. I hope they win 10 games in their bowl games. But we're a basketball school. And I didn't think that anything Calipari said was out of turn, because he's right. Kentucky cares about basketball. BBN is in reference to the basketball crazies, okay? Mark Stoops did not like this, head coach for the football team, and tweeted out, like, I'm sorry, we're in the SEC. Football means more. And then he went on to talk about during the weekend, he had a quote that was floating around talking about, well, we weren't born on third base as a program, as a direct shot to the history of Kentucky basketball. This leads to some admittedly crazy message board posts, Julio, where Kentucky fans are saying, psh, Cal's replaceable. We can get any coach we want right now at Kentucky that's not at Kansas, that's not at Carolina, that's not at Duke. As one post I saw, those are lateral moves at best. We understand that. But you can replace a coach at Kentucky. What Mark Stoops is doing with football is near impossible given the history. So you better keep on to Mark Stoops as best you can. And I'm just flabbergasted at the level of football brain rot that's taken place in Kentucky, where they truly are like, psh, Cal, who cares about that guy? We can get anybody we want. I love it. I love what it's done to people's brains in Kentucky.
In general, I don't like Kentucky basketball mm-hmm. fans, so I'm okay with people, you know, dumping on Kentucky. But this is the danger of thinking you can just replace John Calipari.
Hey, I'm with
because you. Billy Gillespie was the coach, and I remember going to a game at the Smith Center, and I'm just sitting here tearing apart Kentucky basketball on Twitter, mm-hmm. and all of their fans are like, no this, no that, we got Patrick Patterson, you didn't. And I'm like, I'm just telling you guys, you're trash right now, and you are a long way from not being trash. And it didn't take Calipari but a half of a season to not be trash.
Next up.
Oh, no, Joe.
All right, this one from Mark. Hey, Joe, what's your biggest overreaction to week one of the 2022 NFL preseason?
Baltimore Ravens, Super Bowl champions. Put John Harbaugh in the Hall of Fame right now. Please. Right now.
Why?
21 in a row in the preseason.
What's that gotten them?
He already has a Super Bowl, thank
well,
you.
I understand that, but like...
I ask you this almost monthly.
Yeah.
At what point are we going to embrace a coach for his gambling prowess and his ability to cover? I think we've reached that point with John Harbaugh. 21 in a row. And
it's impressive.
And he had Justin Tucker out there banging 47-yard yes. field goals in the second half of that game. He was not fooling around. He knew the score. He knew the spread. He knew everything about that game.
I am what they have done in the preseason, the Ravens, what they have done in the preseason is absolutely fantastic. You give them credit because of the variable nature of you're not playing your ones the entire time.
Right. Ever. They didn't play Lamar Jackson at all.
Okay. You're not doing any of that stuff. Absolutely not. None of that exists, and yet you still find ways to win that many in a row in a preseason, the greatest variable possible in the world of sports because you're just not playing with your A group. Yeah, that's impressive what they've done. You mentioned Lamar Jackson. Apparently, this is what happens when you don't have an agent. The contract negotiations are coming to a halt, and apparently Lamar Jackson is going to do the whole bet on myself thing rather than negotiate a contract once the season gets going, which I find interesting. Most of Lamar Jackson's issues in the NFL are related to the fact that he doesn't have an agent. More power to him if that's how he wants to go about his business. But it does shape
Lamar Jackson's problems in the NFL is that people are racist.
Well, yes.
Those are all of his problems. He's got no on-field problems.
Yes, I agree. But you know who would help shape the message?
True.
An agent.
He could help himself.
He could help himself with an agent. That's all I'm saying. I wish nothing but the best for Lamar Jackson because I do love the fact that he disrupts things a little bit. But yeah, you're right about the first part with Lamar Jackson. All right, we got time for one more?
How are you doing?
Sure, why not? All right, this one from Jeff. Hey, Joe, biggest takeaway from the first weekend of English Premier League?
That it started? That's my biggest takeaway. No, I'm kidding. My biggest takeaway from the start of English Premier League was that when I was sipping on my coffee and just fired up Twitter, that everybody was having a bank holiday for Manchester United getting destroyed by a team that's nicknamed the Bees, like actual bees.
You're going to find this hard to believe from somebody who bets on Filipino basketball and some random tennis based on the pictures of the women on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't have the bandwidth for the English Premier League.
At all? None.
I don't.
Even from a gambling perspective.
I don't, because every game is the same. I can't do it. I can't do it.
How did Ted Lasso do this weekend?
I don't know. I would love to watch. I love watching Ted Lasso, don't get me wrong. And I saw Netflix has a, was it Ryan Reynolds bought a team and they basically turned it into a real life Ted Lasso?
Yeah.
Americans like soccer.
it's
such a trope. It's just go away with that nonsense.
It is a dumb trope, but you talk about, you know, Americans and soccer. That's part of the story with Manchester United. If I had any takeaway from the weekend, it's the fact that the Glazers are the ones who run Manchester United.
Right.
Remember, it's American interests.
And I'd be happy to see the Glazers lose too, yes.
And you got to remember, it's American interests that led to the whole Super League idea, which quickly got shouted down by English fans. Rightfully so, because how things are structured there are much different from how things are structured here. I'm with you on that. Yeah. I'm with you on that. So there's a lot of animosity towards the Glazers. So it's the equivalent of Manchester United getting crushed in their opening weekend is the equivalent of, you know, what people view as America's teams just getting absolutely embarrassed all the time. The Lakers and what they've been going through. Or more specifically, the Cowboys finding themselves. Or I guess it would be there'd be a national field day for when Tom Brady also suffers a horrendous defeat, because everybody likes to see the golden boy get taken down a peg or two. So that's what's happening with Manchester United. It's the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovias. Over on WRALSportsFan.com this weekend was a long-form piece on the current state of the ACC and their financials. Brian Murphy. WRAL.com, WRALSportsFan.com, investigative reporter joining us now on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. Brian, what's up, man?
Hey, guys, how are you? I just want to know what that fight was in the Premier League.
It was over, it was over a handshake. It was like a 2-2 draw, and if somebody's trying to hold on to a handshake that you want no part of, that usually is going to lead to a fight.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
If I don't want to shake your hand and you're not letting it go, okay, it's about to go down. That's what that's about. All right? Giglio has no, he really has no bandwidth for the English Premier League. Much like, I have no bandwidth for the whining about money in the ACC. As you pointed out this weekend on WRALSportsFan.com on that feature, the ACC is making more money than it ever has before, and yet, the way the ACC has been positioned, it's like, my goodness, if things don't change, we are going to go out of business. So where is this disconnect? What did you get to the bottom of?
Yeah, I mean, we hear about the revenue gap all the time, and that's all we've talked about all summer. And so I wanted to explore, like, how did it happen that the ACC is so far behind the Big Ten and the SEC? You know, if you go back, and so I went back to the beginning of the 2000s, and all the five power conferences were basically at the same place. In fact, the ACC was distributing more to its members through the first half of the 2000s, in part because they had fewer members than all the other leagues. But then you see, like, really the impact of television and the SEC and Big Ten signing these contracts, and just, you know, almost a direct up, on the curve, a straight line upward. When they sign their contracts, and then they steadily grow, and then they sign the next contract, and it shoots straight up. And the ACC just isn't on that same trajectory. It goes up, and when they sign a contract, it goes up, but it hasn't been as steep as the gains made by the Big Ten and the SEC.
Brian Murphy, WRAL, joining us here on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. And Murph, one of the comparisons that you made was from Minnesota, a middle-of-the-road Big Ten team, to NC State, which has been a middle-of-the-road ACC team. And obviously Minnesota's got a bunch more money in television revenue, but they don't exactly have the results to show for it. Well, and NC State had some interesting comments to you, too. What did you find out there?
Yeah, I mean, over since about 2014, and that's really when the SEC that's when the SEC network started. That's when the SEC and the Big Ten really have taken off. Minnesota's made about $100 million more just from its conference distribution than NC State has. Now, they have basically the same record on the field in football, but Minnesota's made $100 million more over that time, and if the Big Ten reported deals are to be believed, they're going to be making about $40 million more per season, moving forward. And what does that mean? Like, what does that mean on the field? And that's what I was trying to get at, and nobody really is able to answer that question, because it, in part because it hasn't happened yet. But at some point, is the money gap so big that, you know, NC State can't compete with a Minnesota? I mean, it seems foolish to think that's true. I think the power dynamic actually may be the more important thing. At what point does the SEC and the Big Ten say, no, we want 95 scholarships, or we want 105 scholarships, or we want to change the NCAA tournament so more Power 5 teams get in, which really means more SEC and more Big Ten teams get in, because they're going to be the biggest leagues. So I think more than the money, I think the concern is that those leagues grow so powerful, they get to decide what the playoff format is. They get to decide, you know, how many coaches you're allowed, and they just make changes that the other leagues can't keep up with.
I mean, that's kind of where we're at right now. Brian Murphy joining us, WREL.com, WRELSportsFan.com, sports investigative reporter. I mean, we saw the power moves last summer with the college football playoff, and Jim Phillips, the ACC commissioner, trying to wrestle back some control as it relates to the future of the college football playoff. But you actually just referenced something that I find even more intriguing than the college football playoff. The big boys in college football are going to get what they want. All right, so the SEC and the Big Ten are likely going to drive the conversation along with Notre Dame, and it'll be geared towards something that they like. Got that. The thing that I've found interesting is the NCAA basketball tournament, and what you just referenced, more Power 5 teams being included, not having an automatic qualifier from the smaller schools. I think I forgot which athletic director it was, but I want to say it was Florida Gulf Coast. Said
Correct.
That we're not too far away from my automatic qualifier going away because they're trying to get more in. And to me, that's to those who you talk to, do they understand the differences in what football wants and what basketball wants and what TV wants? Because part of the NCAA tournament appeal is that a St. Peter's has an automatic bid and can do something like knock off Kentucky and others. That's the draw of the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to the Big South commissioner last week after some of those comments came out. He said he hasn't heard anything about getting away from automatic qualification. And some of the other people I talked to for that story, Carl Benson, for one, who was a commissioner in some of these G5 leagues for about 30 years, he said, if you look at the bottom 22 conferences in the NCAA Division I, all they care about is the automatic qualification for the NCAA tournament. And so if that goes away, they're going to have real problems. That pays the bills for them. I tried to make the point that, you know, the UNC St. Peter's game was one of the highest rated games in the NCAA tournament. And so obviously TV loves the underdog versus the favorite. Somebody pointed out to me from a different perspective, what if that had been UNC Kentucky? What would the ratings have been for that game? And St. Peter's beat Kentucky on the road there. So, you know, would the ratings have been even better had it been UNC Kentucky for the right to go to the Final Four and play Duke? You know, maybe those ratings would have dwarfed what St. Peter's got. And so even though we're like, oh, look, St. Peter's did a great job, everybody got invested, had it been UNC Kentucky or UNC UCLA or whoever, would those ratings have been even better?
Meanwhile, like, where is the NCAA on any of this? Why is Greg Sankey trying to make changes to the format of the men's basketball tournament? Like, I get he's about to run roughshod over football. I get that. I totally get that. But the NCAA, that's their billion-dollar property. Why are they not protecting that? Has anybody heard from anyone at the NCAA at any point? Is that guy still alive? I mean, I know he's resigning, but is he still here?
I mean, you would think the NCAA would you know, that's Amber. The one thing they've got to protect above all else is the tournament. I mean, there was some talk about, you know, now that the ESPN doesn't have the, you know, the Big Ten is going to lose out on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are they going to, there was a report that they're going to invest more money in other college athletics, including the women's basketball tournaments, which may be separated from the men's, from the bundle that it's currently in, and be able to generate even more revenue. So you think the NCAA would be interested, if all of a sudden the women's tournament is going to be worth a lot more money, in protecting both the men's tournament and the women's tournament. But they've also got to keep those football teams in the NCAA, right? The last thing they want is the Super 2 or the Power 5 or all 10 of them to leave the NCAA, and then you have no UNC, no Duke, no Kentucky in the final, in the NCAA basketball tournament.
Brian Murphy, WREL.com, WRELSportsFan.com. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, guys.
You can check out what Brian wrote on WRELSportsFan.com. The article is titled, The ACC is making more money than ever. So why is the league's future so uncertain? That's on WRALsportsfan.com. So is the AP Top 25, where NC State was ranked 13th. You got the usual suspects rounding out the top five. You voted in the preseason top 25 this round.
Yeah, first time since 2013.
It's been a hot minute. Who was your top five?
You can make me do it off the top of my head.
Well, I mean, I can go back.
You got it in front of you?
I can go look it up if you
no,
want to.
No, I have Ohio State. I have Alabama, Georgia. Then I have Texas A&M. Is that right?
Yeah, you got Giggum.
Yeah.
At number four, followed by two Utes.
Utah, my guys. And then my guys Clemson. Who don't cover anyone,
yeah,
and then Clemson.
And that's what I wanted to bring up. After you had a moment last week where you ranted against Utah,
yeah.
You put them ahead of Clemson?
I voted before I went on my rant.
But okay. All right. Just one double. That's right, because you put it on yellow pad, so you had to put it in the mail.
Yep.
Well in advance before they could actually publish it today.
We'll see what the Utes do in the opener. They play Florida.
Mm-hmm.
That feels like a... That's where dreams go to die when you play an SEC team on the unranked SEC team on the road in the opener. It feels like, you know, we'll see.